Welcome to this deep dive into the world of artificial intelligence, or KI, as we'll hear it called by our experts.
That's right.
You shared some really fascinating audio, a conversation with Kirsten Chisson. She's an expert in KI marketing and innovation.
Yeah, a very insightful discussion.
So our goal today is really to get under the hood, you know, figure out what KI actually is, look at the ripple effects.
And what it means for people listening, right, in their everyday lives.
Exactly, because this tech is becoming just everywhere. So we'll look at definitions, what it can do, its limits.
And some of the ethical points raised in that source material, too, which are quite interesting.
Absolutely. Understanding this is just, it feels essential now, doesn't it?
It really is. KI isn't science fiction anymore. It's here. It's impacting us. And grasping the basics is key for navigating what's coming.
Okay, so let's kick things off. The conversation you shared started with that fundamental question. What is KI?
And the answer given was multi-layered, which I think is important.
Right. So technically, KI is about getting machines to learn and act kind of like humans do.
Exactly. Driven by technology. Think AI agents, that kind of thing.
And they even mention how way back they were looking at the human brain for inspiration. Like, how do we learn?
Mm-hmm. That connection to neuroscience early on, it's quite revealing about the original ambition.
Yeah, trying to replicate intelligence itself.
Though the field's changed a lot since then, obviously. But that core goal.
Still there. Which leads to this other point Kirsten made. And this one made me chuckle a bit.
Oh, which one?
She suggested artificial intelligence, the actual term, might be the biggest marketing gag ever.
Ah, yes. Coined by John McCarthy back in 56.
Apparently just to get research funding. It's kind of funny how that catchy name stuck. Mm. And now, well, it causes some anxiety.
It really shows the power of framing, doesn't it? But behind the name, it is rooted in hard science, natural science, math.
Right. It's not just marketing.
Yeah.
There's serious academic work there. And the ultimate aim, the long-term dream she mentioned, is artificial general intelligence, AGI.
Machines thinking and acting on par with humans. Across the board.
Sounds like something straight out of a movie, but it's a real goal for some researchers.
And that idea, machines matching human intelligence, that's precisely where a lot of the apprehension comes from.
You can see why. The implications are huge.
Understandably sparks excitement and concern.
Yeah, and the conversation dives right into that, especially this idea of human-like intelligence. It clearly made one speaker uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirsten tackles it by stressing the difference between simulation and genuine experience.
A crucial distinction.
Like machines lack self-awareness. They don't have that mirror neuron thing. They can't truly know themselves.
Right. No consciousness, no subjective feeling of being. That's fundamental.
But, and this is where it gets really wild. She said KI can brilliantly simulate empathy.
Oh, yes. The simulation can be incredibly convincing.
There are studies showing people forming emotional bonds with AIs, especially in, like, security contexts, apparently.
It raises questions, doesn't it? If it looks and sounds empathetic, how do we react? Even knowing it's not real.
But she's clear. It is simulation. It can't truly feel. That's vital for listeners to remember.
Absolutely. Don't mistake the performance for the real thing.
And people react differently, right?
Oh.
Some resist, saying it'll never be truly human.
While others embrace the potential for collaboration.
And then there was that other idea, KI, as the ultimate narcissistic blow to humanity. Oof.
That's a heavy one. The idea that we created something that might surpass us, it challenges our whole sense of self, our uniqueness.
It really does. Then the talk shifted to emotion versus logic.
Ah, yes, the 90% emotional decisions for humans.
Versus KI's 100% rationality, at least currently. Which immediately brings up those, you know, dystopian sci-fi plots.
Where the logical machine decides humans are the problem.
Exactly. But Kirsten kind of pulls back from that, saying KI is young. A lot of this is a fantasy right now.
Which is a good reality check.
Yeah.
We need to focus on the now, not just the far-off what-ifs.
Keep it grounded.
Yeah.
And that connects to how different groups see KI, like experts, mathematicians maybe,
yeah,
versus the general public.
Different perspectives, for sure.
Yeah.
And the role of fear.
Right. The fear narrative, job losses, stuff like that. She compared it to how fear gets used in sales or even control.
Pointing to the cybersecurity industry's history with fear-based stories.
And seeing that pattern repeat with KI now.
It's a sharp point. Fear grabs attention, but it often obscures the nuances. We need a balanced view, the good and the bad.
So true.
Yeah.
Which leads to her point about knowledge being empowering.
Yes. Understanding gives you a sense of security, of self-efficacy.
Knowing what this stuff is, how it works, that reduces the fear factor. Yep. So open discussion, education, they're credible.
Absolutely. That's the antidote to fear and misinformation for everyone listening.
And she flags it as a big political issue, too, with lots of facets.
Naturally. It touches everything.
Okay, circling back to that simulated empathy point, she gave a really striking example.
The father.
Yeah, using KI to process medical info about his terminally ill daughter and finding something like comfort in its responses.
It's powerful. It shows our deep need for understanding and how we might find it even in a simulation if it feels real enough.
And the key takeaway there, we humans are starting to accept these simulations as if they're genuine.
We're buying into the performance.
Then it's all data-driven, right? The KI learns how empathy looks from vast amounts of text and interaction data.
It mimics the patterns it's seen.
And this isn't just theory. She mentioned couples using AI for therapy by feeding it their arguments.
Wow, that really shows how deeply it's starting to integrate into personal lives, raises all sorts of questions.
Totally. And the flip side, if it can simulate empathy so well.
It can simulate certainty about falsehoods too.
Exactly, her example.
Yeah.
KI confidently saying the earth is square. If it sounds convincing, how do you tell truth from fiction?
It's a huge challenge for all of us navigating the information landscape now. Trust becomes very fragile.
Which prompted one speaker to ask about human empathy. Like, isn't ours also based on data, on experience?
Ah, the idea that hardship feeds the brain more empathy data.
Yeah. That's a fascinating comparison. Are we just complex simulators too, in a way?
It certainly makes you think about the roots of our own feelings.
But Kirsten clarifies. She says KI can understand, can comprehend feelings from its data.
And respond appropriately, cognitively get it.
But it lacks the physical, the energetic connection. It doesn't feel the pain, doesn't have those mirror neurons firing in response.
That embodied subjective experience is missing. That's the core difference she highlighted.
And that lack of human baggage, like impatience, means KI can seem better sometimes, right?
Yes. Its infinite patience can be a perceived advantage. Explaining something for the 900th time without getting annoyed.
That could be useful. But, she also said it could be programmed to simulate impatience too.
Right. It can mimic negative traits just as easily as positive ones if instructed. We need to be careful what we ask for.
Which makes you think. What happens when you put this KI into a humanoid robot body?
Ooh, yeah. That changes the game again, doesn't it? Interaction becomes physical, spatial, whole new set of issues.
Trust, safety, how we relate to them. Big questions for you to consider down the line.
Definitely.
She also quickly touched on the tech itself, how models evolve beyond simple probability.
To more complex networks, giving better responses, though probability's still in there.
Just a reminder that it's still math and stats underneath, not magic.
No consciousness, just very sophisticated pattern matching.
And then back to that narcissistic blow idea.
Yeah.
Humans invented AI, and now maybe it challenges our spot at the top.
It forces a reevaluation of what makes us special, if anything, a humbling thought.
And she drew a parallel to the dark triad, personalities, narcissists, psychopaths.
Who can be brilliant at faking empathy for manipulation, sometimes better than neurotypical people.
Yeah, it's a chilling comparison to AI's simulated empathy. Manipulation potential.
Whether human or machine, simulated emotion can be a tool.
One speaker then reflected on why they got into IT, wanting to control computers.
A common starting point for many in tech, I think.
But now, AI can potentially influence users, change beliefs. That's not quite the tool they envisioned.
It's a shift from tool to potential influencer, which has massive implications for us all.
Yeah, like deep fakes, targeted misinformation. AI used for manipulation.
It's a darker side we need to be very aware of. The potential for misuse is significant.
So Kirsten's focusing on evaluation competence when she talks to kids at school.
Makes sense. Critical thinking, verifying information, essential skills now.
And she asked, has that dream of controlling machines come true? Maybe not how we thought.
Indeed.
Two hurdles she mentioned for using KI well.
Huh?
First, knowing what you want. Clarity of intent.
Garbage in, garbage out, right? If your request is vague or flawed.
The output will be too. And second, and this is vital for you listening, critically assessing the output.
Don't just blindly accept it.
Like her coding example, KI might write code that works, but it still needs a human check.
Human oversight, quality control, context. Still crucial.
But it can be a powerful tool for creativity, right? Speeding up ideas.
Absolutely. An accelerator, an inspiration partner. If you use it right, know its limits, define goals, evaluate.
It's a partnership, but the risk of over-reliance is real.
Definitely. Both personally, kids thinking they don't need to learn basic facts.
And in business, relying on average outputs, needing verification, that's something for you to watch out for in your own use.
And maintaining your own critical thinking is paramount. Don't outsource your judgment completely.
Then the talk got pretty serious about deepfakes again, eroding trust.
Yeah, the difficulty of telling real from fake online now.
One speaker basically defaults to skepticism now, using crud words with family.
It's a sign of the times, unfortunately. That erosion of trust is corrosive.
And they compared it to the early internet idealism versus, well, what it also became, a cautionary tale.
History offers lessons if we pay attention.
Then broadening out our general dependence on tech, like electricity for businesses.
KI is just another layer of that dependence in many ways.
And for most industries, using it isn't really optional anymore if you want to compete, right?
It's becoming table stakes. The question shifts from if to how. How do you use it effectively?
And Kirsten shared that story about her friend's service center piloting AI agents.
Right, leading to downsizing, but also customer frustration with the current AI.
People wanting to talk to a human. That's where we are now.
A snapshot of the transition, but.
But things like ChatGPT show how fast this stuff improves. Those agents will likely get much better, much faster.
The pace of development is staggering. We should expect rapid improvements.
Still, Kirsten stressed customer experience CX. That remains key.
Because businesses make money from how customers feel, think, decide.
And human interaction. It's valuable. It helps understand those feelings, those needs. It's not just about
It's
efficiency.
about insight, connection, building relationships. Hard for an AI to replicate fully.
Plus, different people prefer different things, right? Generations, personalities.
Like banking digital for some things, human for others.
The core question she posed: what does the human need in that interaction? That's key for you to consider, too.
Understanding those needs dictates the right balance between human and AI touchpoints.
And Shirley pushed back against just seeing AI agents as cost cutters or job
We're
replacers.
calling that view short-sighted.
Because people need people. Fully replacing humans probably won't work long term.
And she noted many current AI implementations are flawed anyway, conceptually weak.
Right. And just to clarify, these AI agents aren't just chatbots. They act autonomously, evaluate, solve problems independently.
More sophisticated than simple rule-based systems.
But still, garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
Depends on the data and instructions. Crucial for you using AI.
Always comes back to the quality of input.
So it's about balance. Sometimes speed is key, AI helps. Other times, waiting for a human is just frustrating.
No one-size-fits-all solution. Understand the problem first, then deploy the right tool, human or AI.
Actually, use the insights from human interactions, don't just collect data.
That gap between data collection and true understanding is often where things fall down.
She also called out poor technical implementations, bad infrastructure leading to bad chatbots.
If you're gonna do AI, do it right. Invest properly. Know how to, as she put it, tame the tiger. Train the LLMs well.
Because the question is how to use it effectively to stay competitive.
But differentiation can still come from excellent human support.
The real bottleneck, she thinks, is often the organization itself. Can they assess solutions, understand risks, implement well?
That requires significant internal learning, building evaluation skills. That's the hard part for many.
It's interesting, one speaker felt relief from just understanding all this better. Less anxiety.
Knowledge is power, right? Demystifying it helps. Hopefully, this deep dive does that for you listening.
Control comes from competence, evaluating, acting. But the info we get is often shallow, biased.
Need to dig deeper, think critically.
She used that example, unrealistic expectations of AI replacing huge operations with tiny investments.
Especially with AI, it's even more susceptible to garbage in, garbage out.
You need human intelligence to guide artificial intelligence effectively.
It's a partnership, always.
And the core challenge isn't just prompting getting answers out, it's putting intelligence in.
Context, rules, implicit knowledge, understanding. That's the tricky part.
Her ice cream analogy was great. Asking AI to buy ice cream without context is like telling it to drive off-road.
It might get there eventually, but inefficiently breaking all the rules because it doesn't know the rules, the context.
Our implicit knowledge needs to be made explicit for AI.
Exactly. Treat it like a trainee, she said. Lots of info, no real-world understanding. Needs teaching.
So poor AI,
Yeah.
often down to poor knowledge representation, bad context input. That's the difference maker.
Which means companies shouldn't ditch human expertise. They need to integrate it. methods, philosophies, context.
And there are technical ways to do that. It's crucial for organizations listening.
Leverage your people's knowledge into the AI.
And hallucinations. Often just a symptom of not giving the AI enough meaning, enough context.
Be fair to the KI, she said. Give it the education it needs first.
Because the training data might be generic. It probably doesn't have your company's unique philosophy or unspoken rules.
Need to bridge that gap with internal knowledge.
But right now, many users just ask simple stuff, accept the output uncritically.
That's the common pattern, but it's risky.
Especially in critical areas, like cybersecurity. Hmm. Generic AI advice could be flawed, lack expert nuance.
Definitely dangerous to rely on it blindly there. Human expertise is vital for strategy.
Though the future goal might be capturing expert knowledge in an AI agent. Imagine that.
An AI that can evaluate plans based on deep, specific human expertise. That's a powerful concept.
Okay, so shifting gears. Essential skills for the future, for kids, for all learners. What do you need?
Big question. Education needs to adapt.
Kirsten's advice. First, basic programming. Like learning a language gives structural understanding.
Even if you don't code daily, it helps you think about how systems work.
And tailor education, not one size fits all. Nurture individual strengths, whether it's math or art.
Recognize diverse talents. Foster passions.
Ethics education becomes even more important.
Critically so, with great power.
And humanities. Maybe less rote grammar, but literature, history, philosophy.
Crucial for critical thinking, reading between the lines, context, empathy. Things AI struggles with.
Balance tech and creative skills. The wild ideas might come from humans implemented by AI.
Need both innovation and execution.
And kids must understand AI is simulation. Parents need to help them evaluate critically. KI literacy.
Like needing a driving license for the road, need literacy for the AI world.
Which is a huge challenge for parents, especially non-technical ones. Safety, privacy.
A new layer of digital parenting. We need resources for parents.
And the risk of a competency gap, KI skills becoming a status issue.
A real concern. Basic KI education should be accessible to all, free. Equity matters.
Teachers are already stretched thin. Adding KI competency is tough.
Need support, training, resources for educators.
But she mentioned schools are more open now to bringing in experts like her.
That's positive. Connecting students to real-world insights is great.
Well, this has been a lot to unpack. Incredibly valuable insights from Kirsten's conversation.
Indeed. A very thorough exploration of a complex and rapidly evolving field.
So, wrapping up this deep dive based on your source material, several key things for you, our learner, stand out.
Mm-hmm.
We saw KI is technical, mathematical, but also shaped by marketing, even fear. Understanding simulated versus real intelligence, especially empathy, is vital.
Crucial distinction.
Using KI well. It's not just tech. It's knowing your needs, critically evaluating output, bringing in human expertise and context.
Human intelligence guiding artificial intelligence.
And as KI spreads, critical thinking, ethical awareness, a balanced view of potential and limits. That's essential for everyone navigating this future, you and the next generation.
Absolutely. It's about informed engagement, not blind acceptance or rejection. Understand, evaluate, guide. That's the path forward.
Okay, and a final thought to leave you with. As AI gets better and better at mimicking us, even understanding emotions somewhat, how will our definition of being human change?
Oh, interesting.
Will things like consciousness, genuine feeling, become more valued?
Yeah.
Or less, in a world with intelligent machines all around us.
Something profound to ponder as KI continues to shape your world.